Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival, and we are in company of Jason Isaacs, co-protagonist with Wes Bentley of the film Things People Do by Sarah Klein, screening here in Panorama. The logline on the film is your characters, and what's interesting is that it's a cop who says this.
Yeah, but really, it's almost incidental that he's a cop. I mean, he's a guy whose life is stuck somewhere. What's more important is that he's a cynic and that he believes in the very worst side of human nature. That's what he sees every day. And so it happens his profession takes him there. But he's a guy who's paralyzed in his life until this very unlikely friendship strikes up, this kind of odd, unexpected thing happens to him where he meets this guy who just doesn't fit his picture of how people are. You know, he thinks everybody does everything cynically, and then he meets this guy who is not, who declares himself cheating because he goes over the line when he's bowling, and it doesn't make any sense to him at all. And he's drawn into this friendship with someone who seems to have the perfect life and be living this perfect dream that he didn't think was possible. And of course, as they get closer, it's not possible.
I thought that through your character, the protagonist Bill, is forced to confront himself with I call it the inevitable question, the division between what would be the right thing to do or the best thing to do, in this case for his family. And you're the one presenting him with this, with this big and difficult thing to decide.
Well, I don't want to contradict you, but I couldn't disagree with you more. I think that Bill is confronted with that himself. It's not me that confronts him. Bill is, struggling with, he doesn't really think about this. He instinctively does this thing and then knows every day that he's doing wrong on some level, but he's doing right on some other level. He knows he shouldn't be feeling good about what he's doing, but it feels a lot better than the situation he's been in before. And when he meets me, he has a lovely friendship that doesn't really impact on what he's doing to make money until I bring it all crashing to a halt and confront him with it. But I don't confront it directly, and I certainly don't judge him. I just say that, if you keep doing this, somehow I let him know that maybe if I know that it's him, that it will all come to a horrible end if he doesn't stop soon. So even I don't judge him for what he's doing at all, which is one of the reasons our friendship continues. No, I think the film is about people's inner consciences, not their outer consciences, and how we navigate our way ethically, and what I love about what happens between Frank and Bill is it's a very, very unusual friendship. There's nothing, it's not a thriller in the sense that here's a guy committing crimes who meets a policeman. Will he be found out? It's none of those things. It's far more about who we are and what we open up in each other and what we help each other see.
The film has a very good balance, and there are also funny scenes. In particular, there's the gun shooting practice.
Well, I think that's one of those scenes where you really get to understand why Sarah is this interesting, fully formed, unique voice that has arrived on the scene. He's a guy who's worked with a lot of the greatest filmmakers in the world, and he's worked it's people with such wide-ranging styles, from Terrence Malick to Doug Liman to Cameron Crowe, and many, many other directors in between. Many, in fact, uncredited. He goes in as an editing doctor and fixes other people's films as well. And that sequence was, we were there for an afternoon. We did a whole bunch of stuff. We did most of it improvised. And I had no idea what would end up in the film or where it would end up in the film. And probably he didn't either. But he's a confident man, and he knew that he was capturing pieces of a life and a relationship. And then sure enough, you come back to it a few times. You cut away from it, you come back to it as if there were different scenes and different days, which they weren't. And he made out of it such a sense of play. I mean, that bit where we're playing like 10-year-olds, I was thinking, this is not going to make it into the film. It's ridiculous. But in fact, it's at the very heart of what makes their friendship, that they just relax enough with each other that they start fucking around like little kids, which is something these men who are pretending to be men all the time don't get to do very often in their lives. And it's such a great release for them that it opens them up to each other. And I think it's a beautiful sequence, and it's funny, and it's touching, and it's visual, and it's one of those signature moments that I think from now on, when you watch Sars films, you're always going to know it's him telling the story. He's such a confident storyteller with such a kind of loose and yet identifiable style of telling a story.
Do you think he's going to be a big director?
I don't know what big means. I think he's really talented, you know. I think he's I think he takes such an elliptical view of storytelling that it makes you lean in as a viewer. You know, he doesn't. The key moments of change for the characters are not dealt with a big flat-on close-up. It might be what the character's looking at. It might be how somebody else is reacting to them. He might cut away in the middle of the sentence. He might arrive in the middle of the sentence or be behind their head. And he knows instinctively how to make you lean into the conversation instead of sit back. And that's a gift, I think.
What kind of director is he? So that does he let you like interpret your own? Your own character, or he leads you to every scene?
No, he created this world in the script, and then he gave it away to the actors. You know, and I initially said to him, "What happened in Frank's past to make him so shut down?" And what happened? And he went, "I don't know. What do you think?" So I came up with a whole backstory in a Chicago accent because I figured he'd moved there from somewhere else where it had all gone horribly wrong for him and stuff. And I said, "Do you want to know what I came up with? What he did and why he was demoted and why?" He went, "No. Just show me. I trust you." And similarly on the set with everyone, you know, he wanted, first of all, the moment to be fresh always, and if a better or different moment occurred, he wanted to shoot that. But he also wanted the sense that the camera was capturing a small part of big lives, and that, you know, our job was to create the rest of the big life and the other scenes that you don't see, so that the bits that are captured feel like just fleeting moments that you're capturing instead of everything that's ever happened to these people. It's a remarkable thing for a first-time filmmaker to be confident enough in their actors and their own skill to give things away and create a space of that's that free. You know, I've worked with other first-time filmmakers who are so fearful, the schedule and the budget and stuff make them so fearful that what they really want to do is recreate every frame of this version of the film they've had running in their head for a decade. And Saar was skilled enough to know that he had to throw all that away, create it and then throw it all away.
There are a lot of father figures in the film. There's one who's absent because he killed himself, like Bill's father. And there's the father in love, who's really hopeful and superficial. And then there's you. And you're also a father figure for him, right?
I'm a father figure at first, and then I'm a friend, and then in some ways I'm in need of his help too. I'm in need of, you know, I'm a child when I'm at their dinner table. I'm their child, I'm another child, and I need support, and I feel it's a family that Frank never had. So, yeah, it's true that it's about, not it's about anything. If it had a theme or a message, it would be nowhere near as good and rich as it is, the film. But I think that some of the themes in there are about, you know, mentors and father and support and love and being who you want to be. I mean, being who you think you ought to be. And living your life in a way that you're comfortable with, you know. Hence, I don't want to give away the ending, but the ending leaves a lot to be discussed. What happened next? And at every stage, it's about, well, what would you do?
Yeah.
And, you know, who would you look to for advice?
And I really like the scene in which your character hoards up his room. He starts to build his furniture, and he finally decides to sign the divorce. Like that. There you can see how much this friendship affected positively in his life.
I think it's true that Frank, by being of service, by helping someone else get their life back on track, which he wasn't planning on doing, that's not who he was when we meet him, begins to kind of take the cobwebs off his own soul and begins to think that maybe he should find some hope in life and some change in life. And it's a very beautiful thing. I mean, that moment was improvised. We were in the flat, and Saar goes, "Hey, well, why don't you let's shoot." Many of the things that are beautiful in the film to me are things that Saar or someone else came up with on the day, and he's smart enough to know that the film has three completely separate lives: the one that he writes, the one that he shoots, and then the one that he cuts. And he's able to let go of the previous incarnation, which is a great skill, I think.
What was the first thing that you thought when you read the script, and what made you accept the role?
It was full of what ifs. It was those great, you know, good storytelling is full of what if that happened, and what would I do, and what would he do, and why is he doing that? It was full of questions. Why is this guy here, and why are they friends, and what do they get out of it? It ignited 1,000 questions in me, and most bad, mediocre to bad scripts answer all questions for you. There's literally nothing left to the imagination, and a lot of this was left to the imagination. Then So I thought, well, let's meet this guy and see what he's about. And he was about exploring this story together, as if we'd stumbled across it, as opposed to he created it. He'd created it and shaped it for years, but he clearly wanted to find out what was human in here instead of tell me. And that's a very unusual approach.
I like this ability of portraying different characters, like evil ones or good ones, is what made you very good for this role, especially, because that's what I thought. I mean, there
well,
was I, always
at the risk
this
of sounding really pretentious.
this mixed feelings, you know that.
Right. Well, I would say, and all actors would probably say this, that there's no such thing, if you're doing your job well, as evil characters and good characters. And this guy is a complicated guy who, you know, has seen the very worst of human nature in his working life, and life has disappointed him as well. And so he's lost hope or any belief that people can or ever do the right thing. And that he, you know, this friendship, this very unusual friendship, awakens all kinds of things in him that he had thought were long dead. But, you know, I don't, the most evil, certainly the most high-profile evil part I play would be in the Harry Potter films. And that guy's a coward, which makes him a bully, and he's a racist because he's fearful of change, and all those things that I see in these right-wing politicians across Europe. And I he seemed to me nothing like a cartoon. You know, I only need to switch on the radio or look at the newspapers to find people talking the same kind of separatist and racist language that Lucius Malfoy talks. You know, and then you saw when his boss came back, who he'd long venerated, how humiliated and emasculated he was by him and then by his own wife. So he felt like a pretty rounded character. And the danger as an actor is when something is written as two-dimensional and you go, well, I'll just play it like that. And then you're the one that looks like an idiot in the end.
What is it like to work with Wes Bentley, considering that after a lot of, let's say, little roles, he finally, in his film, is... Yes, the first leading role.
Well, I wasn't there for all the years in between, so, you know, we did talk about those things a lot, but those are private conversations. I'm sure he wouldn't thank me too much for talking about it in public, but I thought he was... I thought he brought to Bill that an understanding of what it's like to lead a secret life and to hide things. And certainly, oddly, some journalists have said, well, why doesn't Bill tell his wife? And they go, well, Bill doesn't tell his wife because he should have told his wife, and that's what leads to all of his troubles. But there are plenty of people in the world whose pride gets in the way of them communicating and leading a healthier life. And this is a man who goes down a path that leads him to all kinds of poor decisions and actions that have terrible consequences because of his inability to be comfortable with who he is and to share with his partner. And I thought Wes was very comfortable and brilliantly comfortable with playing the strain of secrets, which is, you know, the camera loves secrets. Cameras and all stories love secrets. And so that, you know, he did a great job. He was a great partner to play with. You know, Saar creates an atmosphere on set where, although there's a script, he makes you feel like it was just a bare idea for a scene. It wasn't at all, but it's a very gentle manipulation to try and create a life. And so you need actors who are up for that. And Wes was more than up for it. It was a great, you know, he was able to dance in any direction as I was. And it made the set a very exciting place to be.
Thank you, Jason Isaacs, for being here with us on Freffy Radio. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Bye, nice to meet you. See ya.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.